It's not often that I get out of the radio station to go and wander about a bit, but I got invited out, a few of us, earlier this week, and I was invited to take part in an escape room, something that I've never done before, a room where you're given an hour to escape and you have to work out clues. The difference with this one was that it was completely in the dark, and an expert at being completely in the dark is Blind Dave, Dave Healy. He joins us now. Hello.
Hello, sorry. I bet that was an interesting and interesting and an adventurous hour, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we should just say that there's a little bit of interference on the line, but we've narrowed it down to the weather, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. We're blind the weather.
We'll stick with the weather. now, the funny thing with this escape room was, Dave, it was completely in darkness, and there was five of us in there.
Yeah.
And the idea was to find... well, see, I think that was one of the problems. I didn't actually know what we were looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
But you go in there and you're trying to work out the clues to basically win your freedom from the room. You have an hour to do it.
Yeah.
And when I got in there, I actually found it really claustrophobic in the complete darkness.
Oh, doesn't surprise me. Because, you know, when we've experienced... when we've put on the dinner in the dark, a lot of people have said exactly the same, you know... as soon as you put the blindfold on and, you know, you're true to it rather than peeking, there is that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not claustrophobic, but they do feel so vulnerable because they don't know what's in front of them, around them. They don't know the environment they're in, and likewise with yourself. And it's a case of, do we move forward? What's in front of us? Do we move to the side? And although, as I've said, you know, not pinching your thunder, but a lot of them said, we don't know whether to move or not because we didn't know what was in there. Now, they knew there was in a room. They knew that there was in a room and with a selection of tables. They obviously knew there was four walls and they knew there was a door in because they've entered in through the door. But it's amazing how many people don't realise when you take the gift of sight away how vulnerable, not that you are, but how vulnerable.
Well, it was interesting because my colleagues were forcefully sighted people, and it was me. I'm severely sight impaired now, but I have peripheral vision, so I still rely on that a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I approached it completely wrong because I think if you'd have been put in there, well, what would you have done? Gone into a room and it's totally in darkness and you have to find clues and things. Would you map out the whole, you know, all the walls and all the room first?
I mean, to a degree, I'm guessing that you would have been put in the room knowing full well that whoever's put you in there would not have put you into a hazardous place, you know what I mean? You weren't going to have electric cables hanging. And
yeah, we were assured about that, yeah.
And knives knocking about. So you were going to be in a relatively safe room. And I guess it's like for me sometimes, people will say, why are you not standing still or what? Well, I just... edge myself around a little bit and suddenly you'll find, that's a desk or a table. So you'll move around it and you okay. So the desk is this way, the drawers are that way, so I know. So from there on in, you've got some indication as to, unless somebody's turned the desk completely around and put it against the wall, you know what I mean? But you start identifying the room because you know what a chair is, you know what a calculator is, you know what a phone is, you know what a desk is, you know what a tree is, you know what a plant pot is, a dustbin, whatever. And you start identifying the things in a room, and from that, you could normally gauge, that's there, that's there. You know, you'll touch the wall, you may find a window, you may find a door. But it is a matter of sort of elimination, isn't it?
Well, it was peculiar, actually, because I actually, when I got in there, it was so dark that I was looking at the back wall and I started seeing, I said, well, I can see two leather couches along this wall, one at either end and a cream wall. But I knew that wasn't actually there. That was my mind making up stuff for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, later on when we saw the room, it was completely different to what I even imagined it would be.
Now, you saying that was the same thing when we did this dinner in the dark. When we spoke to people afterwards, you know, many people said, we thought that the host on the microphone was in front of us. Now we've took the blindfold off, we can see the stage is behind us. And, you know, the sort of image they've got of this room was totally different. Now, you saying that about like a beige wall and settees. Now, I still, to this day, don't ask me why. I've got my own sort of reasoning behind it. But, I mean, I sometimes... Well, when I used to rock the kids when they were little to bed, now, I'd go into the room and push the door over, and Georgie Lee in particular, and say, Daddy, the room is so dark. And yet, for me, the room seemed bright. Couldn't see nothing, but the room seemed bright. Now, is it your eye or, you know, your optic nerve connected to your brain wanting to search for something, wanting to take you out of that darkness? I don't know. And I still have that today. I can lay in bed some nights and me and Deb are talking, you know, before you go to sleep. And I go, this room seems so bright, cock. I go, what do you mean? I said, it's like there's, you know, a million lumes of light that's come into the room, and yet I can't see nothing. But in my mind's eye, the room is so bright. So I don't know, as you say, you were put into an environment which, you know, is not familiar to you. Were you searching for what you wanted rather than feeling for what was there, if you know what I mean? You was really alienated, weren't you?
Yeah, and it was one of these things. I don't want to say too much about the actual specifics of the room, because we will revisit it.
Yeah.
But it was Paulina, who works with me, and she was really good. She loves these kind of things.
Yeah.
And she was very good at working out the kind of lateral thinking you needed to work out what this clue led to and what these things were. And I'm going round, found a button, and they're like, that. Yeah, we've been there.
I've
found this. Yeah, they're all done, Si. You know, it's like, I seem to be behind everybody else, but still not quite grasping it. But I do reckon that if I did it on more than one occasion, I would get a technique for it, because I'm fairly quick at picking things up, but I'm not very good at the old riddle type thing.
I think you're right. The more you do it, the more you grasp, the more you learn. But it's like I've said, you know, I mean, I go into some environments and, you know, I'm left alone and whatever. And, you know, it's like when I touch a dinner table anywhere, I'll move my hand on the dinner table very slightly, and, you know, you'll find, that could be salt and pepper. That's certainly a knife and a fork. That could be. But a lot of people will go, boop, boop, knock everything over. But if you just, you know, move your hands very gingerly about, you soon pick up things, and then you can identify the table is 6 foot long, it's a rectangle, or it's a round table, or whatever. What gets me is when people are sitting there and you're sitting there and there's 10 people and nobody utters a word, then you think, are people here? Can I hear? Am I waiting? And that's when I always say, and Deb always says, can we do an introduction around the table so that, you know, Dave knows who's here? So, different ways, isn't it?
But yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to compare a team of severely sight impaired clue
you
searches.
Mean blind people?
Yes, I'm trying to be politically correct.
Severely sight impaired.
Well, you know what that's
say
for.
Say that it is, sorry, blind or partially sighted. You don't mix words.
Yeah, but I think what I'm trying to convey is what that actually means is the fact that you know, some people don't see anything. Some people have a degree of vision. So in this scenario, I'd like to try it with people who see nothing. Versus people who have sight and see if there's a different way of doing it and whether it's quicker. I mean, I think as a team we did it in 40 something minutes when you get 60 to do it, but I mean it wasn't due to any help that I gave, to be honest, you know. But it's an interesting concept, I think.
Well, you're right, but you see, in that scenario you're not going to listen. But in some, I mean, when I go and do talks at various for various people, they do a team build on that, you know, couple of days. And I'm quite amazed that sometimes when I'm stood in a field and they're saying, what are we going to do, Dave? We're going to blindfold these. We're going to give them this and that and the other. And then they've got to get from A to B. And then afterwards, when we go back in, you know, I say the first thing that you lot don't do is, number one, talk to each other. But number two, listen. And it's amazing if you stand for, you know, for a minute or two and listen to the environment that you're in. Not in an office environment, unless there's computers being hit and phones ringing. But it's like on the edge of a road, somebody will say, there's a road, and I'll go, yeah, I know. And sometimes I stand there and I think, woof, it's a woof, woof, nothing, woof. But if you stand just for a second or two, or a minute or two, gauge and you think, right, the traffic's going that way, that way, that way. Ah, okay. So you know which direction traffic's going in, and you walk away a little bit and you're sort of, you're listening for what's going on. And it's amazing how you can place yourself somewhere and think, I think here I'm relatively safe. You know what I mean? It's using your other senses sometimes, isn't it?
Using them to build up a different picture, yeah. Yes. But it just shows, though, how subjective it is, depending on, you know, different levels of vision that you have residually, light and depth, light and dark. And then also you've got senses of touch. And, yes, you know, we're all individual in all these kind of aspects as well, aren't we?
This is why I say in my talks, when I talk to kids, when I talk to corporate, when you talk to whoever, don't take your sight for granted, because they don't realise that by the lack of sight or losing your sight, not looking after your sight, how it can seriously change your life in a big, big way. And, you know, people always say, oh, the senses, but, and they say, which would you not rather lose? But I would say that majority of people would say, I don't want to lose my sight.
It's really,
you know, that's not looking at other disabilities.
No, no.
But when you have had sight and it's suddenly taken away, you then realise what you cannot do with your life.
And it also emphasises how easily it is to let yourself become isolated.
Most definitely. Yeah. I've said it before, I've been in a room with 200 people and I've sat in a corner listening, but I've been so lonely because you're missing all the wink of the eye or the thumbs up or whatever. You know what I mean? It's a crazy situation, and people must think, what? But how can you be lonely with 200 people around you?
I know, and
quite easy.
Dave and I are going to have a chat about this, because we were talking about this the other week, and we'll do it probably next time we're together.
Yeah,
talking
yeah.
about awareness of blindness and sight loss amongst sighted, and that kind of whole description, because that's the whole thing we're working towards. But we're going to have a look at it and see if you know, we've been totally realistic in what we do.
Yeah, and that'll be a nice subject and topic and a nice little debate to have, actually.
Yeah.
And hopefully, from conversations we can have, it'll create awareness and get more conversations going, basically.
Yeah. So, if you want to keep up with Dave, by the way, he's busy at the moment, so there's lots going on.
Oh, so much going on at the minute. Website is blinddavehealy.co.uk. With Deb on the social media for me, that's probably your best bet, which is Facebook, Blind Dave Healy, and Twitter is @BlindDaveHealy. But, give us a shout. Watch for what we're doing. There's a new challenge looming, and I'm sure Simon in a month or two we'll discuss what we're up to.
Yeah, I know. This is a big secret. I don't even know what this is about.
No, mate. I'm making it up as I go along.
Dave's given me some clues along the way, but usually, yeah, as I say, I'm not very good with clues.
Yeah, bye.
I'm thinking he could be the first blind man on the moon.
You got no chance.
No, that's 5 years down the line.
I'd fall off.
You'd miss it.
You probably would.
Anyway, Dave, always a pleasure.
Okay, mate.
Enjoy the weather, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Indeed, sir. The weatherman.